of God. All through the book of Joshua, we've seen the faithfulness. And after studying the book of Joshua and seeing that faithful, you might, well, what should we do? Where do we go from here? And I believe that we should step into the future confident that God is faithful. You might say, well, Pastor, how do we step into the future? And tonight, I want to give you three ways that we should step into the future with God's faithfulness. Three ways to step into the future with God's faithfulness. We should continue to be loyal to God. I believe most of us are probably loyal to God, but after seeing His faithfulness, I believe that it brings us to the idea that we should continue as we go into the future being loyal to the Lord. The loyalty of the Lord was shown to His people, and it couldn't be questioned. Look at Joshua 23, beginning in verse 6. It says, "Be very firm then to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations. These which remain among you or mention the name of their gods or make anyone swear by them or serve them or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day." Father God, I just ask tonight, Lord, that you would, through Holy Spirit, Father, open our eyes. Lord, as we listen, your children, would you speak to us? Would you, Lord, help us to understand your word. Father, would you help us to be understanding and convicted of the truth of your word. And Father, would you cause us to respond to your word and to move it into our hearts. And Father, would you convict us to live by conviction according to your word. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I believe that the Lord's loyalty to his people couldn't be questioned. You look all through Joshua, and he told them what? Even before Joshua, when they were in Egypt, we've been seeing that in some of our Sunday morning services, that they were in slavery, and they wanted to come out of slavery. God said, I'm going to come and deliver you. And I'm going to take you, and I'm going to give you the promised land, and you're going to go in and just take it. And we see all through Joshua where they finally got to the promised land. They've wandered because of disobedience. They've wandered all through the wilderness for 40 years, and then they came to the promised land. They crossed over. God parted the river, the Jordan River, for them to go through. The walls of Jericho just fell down. They did nothing but go in and take it. And each of the times we see them go to battle, God is giving them the city. He's being faithful to his word, constantly showing them, if you're obedient to me, then I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to give you. You go in and take over. I'm going to give you something we saw, and I don't know if it was studying on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, and looking. We know that we hear about them going in and taking over these villages, and that the grapes and all that was already there. But they're going in, there's already homes built. They're taking over cities. God's giving them everything. They had to do nothing. It was provided for them. What, you know, they didn't have to go in and then recreate all these cities. They didn't have to go in and plant crops and wait for the crops to grow. They're already there. God was faithful to everything that he continued to say he would do. And you can, there's nowhere in Joshua that you can even question that God didn't do what he said he was going to do. Now, there was one time right after they took over Jericho when they were going to go to Ai, and they were defeated the first time because they had sin in the camp. They were disobedient to what God said. When they rectified that, then they went in and they just took it over, and God continued to show them, I am faithful. And we will do well to renew our loyalty to him. God gave us salvation. God took the punishment for our sin that we were due. We've earned it. I mean, let's just be honest with it. We don't like to think about that. But death and separation from him is exactly what we've earned. And he has all the right to say, that's yours, and you're going to have to take care of it. But guess what? He knew we couldn't. There is no way we could ever be perfect. And when it comes to God's standards, God is perfect, and he requires perfection. And through his faithfulness, he sent his son to die on that cross so that we wouldn't have to die, and restored our relationship. And I believe that we need to realize, as we talked about Sunday, what that cost us, what that cost him. And that we need to renew our love. We need to be loyal to him. I believe today, if someone was in great need of something and someone provided that, probably for a period of time, we would feel what? Indebted to them. We would want to be there to help them. You know, maybe we needed some money and somebody gave you $100,000. You would probably, anytime they called and said, I need something, you'd probably jump up and you'd be right there within your power to do it. But how much more to the one who gave us life, who forgave us, gave his own son to die in our place. We need to renew our Lord. We need to be loyal to God, not to earn our salvation, but because of gratitude for what he did. I believe that if we live a life unloyal and disobedient to God, he's going to allow hardships to come in our life. He's never going to stop loving us. I remember studying this back in school sometime, and we don't understand the fullness of God's love. Can God love us anymore? Well, let me ask a question, because I don't fully know the answer to this. One of you guys, maybe you ladies can help me. If someone was to play a perfect baseball game, what would their, is there a point or a score that they get?
About 1,000, but that's about as perfect as I know you.
About 1,000, okay, let's use that. You about 1,000. Can that baseball player do any better than that? No, he's done perfect. That's what God's love is. He can't love us anymore. He loves us 1,000. There is no more possibility of him loving. And the great thing about it is, if that batter bats 1,000, he couldn't have done any less, because he's batted 1,000. God loves us. He can't love us any less, because he loves us total. But yet, there are times that our fellowship can be broken because of our lack of loyalty or obedience to him. If we have sin that we don't confess, if we have sin that we continue to live in and to repeat in a lifestyle that we pick up, we're not being loyal to the one who saved us. And it should grieve us, because we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the Lord. If it doesn't grieve us, then we really need to look and see where our relationship is with the Lord. Is it so far separated, not that we don't have it, but maybe separated that we're not feeling the conviction anymore, or do we not have it? So going into the future, after seeing God's faithfulness, realizing what you hear me say all the time, God is what? The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if he was faithful then to his people, do we not believe that he's going to be faithful to us today? And do we not believe that he's going to be faithful to us and those in the future? There's going to come a day when the ultimate fulfillment comes and we all go home to be with glory. Amen? He's going to be faithful. He's began a good work in us here on earth, and he wants to continue that. He will continue that to mature us. But guess what? That's a lifelong process. We will never be perfect this side of glory, but he will mature us and he will be working with us, because he's faithful. And guess what? He wants what's best for us. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm preaching the fact. God wants what's best. He doesn't want what's bad for you. He wants what's best, and he's going to be faithful to walk with it. But you see, when we're not loyal to him, then we begin to cause a separation in our communication, and that can sometimes lead us into difficulty. It can lead us into hardships. There's times that we're walking right with the Lord that he's going to send us through hardship. And we're going to talk about that in a few weeks on Sunday, that, you know, the Lord takes us through. He don't always take us around. Sometimes he takes us through, but guess what? He's right there with us, and he's going to be faithful. So we need to be loyal to him. So we should continue to be loyal to the Lord. Also, we should continue to love the Lord. We should continue to love the Lord. You see, the Lord demonstrated his unfailing love for his people. Look, beginning there at verse 9. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to fight 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised. So take diligent heed to yourself to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive the nations out from before you, but there will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eye until you perish of this good land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord demonstrated his love to them. He's telling them right there that, you know, you went up and you fought and they were gone. I give you the land. It's saying here, no one can even stand up against you. Why is that? Because the Lord is the one that's fighting for them. Didn't matter if one of them went into battle or 1,000 of them went into battle. They were obedient to go where the Lord told them to go. And he showed their love through his love for them, through his faithfulness to give them what they wanted. But he told them there to cling to the Lord, to continue to love him. It says there at verse 8, but cling to the Lord as you have done to this day, and you've driven out these nations. But what does he tell them? He says, take diligence and heed yourself to love the Lord. For if you go back, verse 12, for if you go back and cling to the rest of these nations which remain among you and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out before you. What is he saying? He's saying, stay faithful to me. I'm faithful to you. I love you. You love me. When they're being faithful to not intermingle with those nations that are left, those pagans, those who are following other gods, he's saying, don't go and deal with them. Don't flirt with them. Don't get close to them. Don't talk to them. Don't intermarry with them. And he says, when you do that, I'm going to continue to protect you. I'm going to continue through my love to drive out these nations before you. But he tells them, know for certain that if you do not do this, that he's not going to continue to drive those nations out. Remember when they went from Jericho to Ai? One person in the camp took something and infected the rest of them. God didn't drive Ai out the first time. God's telling them for them to love them, and he's going to continue to do that. But if you don't, there's going to become difficulty. He's not going to drive those things away. So how does that come to us? I believe that we need to respond to his love for us by loving him. How do we express our love to a holy God? But by being faithful and following him. And we can know, I believe, just as verse 13 says, that, you know for certainly God protects us. Amen? I don't know if you know that, but God protects us. He protects us oftentimes from an enemy that we can't see. The devil and his attack and his demons or minions or whatever you call them, they're real. They're out there and we can't see them. But God protects us when we're under this umbrella of protection because we're remaining loyal and we're loving him. But when we stop, God can periodically kind of remove that protection and allow us to enter into these temptations. He can allow things to come to get our attention. When we're not following him, when we're not being, what's the point about being obedient? God tells us in his word how we are to live. And I want to tell you, God doesn't give us this book just as a rule book or a guidebook to say, hey, I'm such a great and mighty God, I don't want you to have any fun. I'm just going to give you a whole bunch of rules, and I'm going to give you religion that you have to follow and just make it impossible for you. Does that sound like a loving God? No. Why does he do that? Because he knows.
He knows that certain lifestyles are not good for us. I mean, we could go down the road of many different kinds of lifestyles or things that people do that God says don't do. He's saying those because he created us. He knows what's out there. And when we do those things, we're putting ourselves into a situation that can cause damage. Just one come off the top of my mind. I have encountered some people before who were alcoholics. Now, I'm not going to sit here and preach on drinking, but I know people who were alcoholics and got cirrhosis of the liver, and then they want to lay in the hospital and plead to God to heal their cirrhosis. God told you don't do it. And that's why, because those things can happen. Now, does that mean God's not going to step in and heal it? No, it doesn't mean that, but most likely he's not. Whereas God can forgive us of our sins and actions, it does not always mean that we're removed from the consequences of our action. You can take homosexuality. There's AIDS that come from that. There's a lifestyle of people who are not really knowing what side of the fence they belong on. There's so many things that come with that that God says don't do it. I mean, the purpose of human life with a man and a woman, the purpose of sex is to procreate and to bring a man and a woman together. When you put two men together, I don't care what you do, you're not going to get anything. If you put two women together, you're not going to get anything. There's not going to be a bonding there that needs to be the way it needs to be. And like I said, we can just go on and down, but you can see that our love to God says when you love me and you're loyal to me, then there's this protection that comes upon you. God's going to love us regardless as a believer when we truly confess him as Lord and Savior to forgive us of our sins and to be our Savior, but also to be our Lord. We're saying that we're going to be faithful and we want to follow him and we want to be obedient to him, and we love him, I believe, out of gratitude. Are you grateful that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Before your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, you had a relationship with a king. It was King Satan. He was your leader. He is your ruler. He is the one that you have to obey because you're in sin. But when you come to God, God changes it, and it tells us, I think it's the book of James, that God removes us from the darkness and puts us into the inheritance of the light with the saints. He takes us from the rule of Satan, and he puts us under the rule of Jesus. We ought to be grateful for that, because let me tell you what, it affects our life here on earth for sure. I can promise you that. But I guarantee you it will affect your life hereafter, because there is only two places. It's heaven or hell, regardless of what the world says. And it's not a wide gate that gets to heaven, and we don't serve such a great God that he just lets everybody in. He wouldn't be great. He wouldn't be loving. He wouldn't be who he was, because he has to be faithful to himself. He's provided a way, and if you choose not to accept it, then you are choosing the alternative, and that's hell. But out of our love for God, because he's come to us, we go into the future. And I believe that even tonight, we need to respond by his love, by loving him. We also have that we should continue to honor the Lord. We should continue to honor the Lord. Look at verse 14. It says, now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. And you have been fulfilled for you, not one of them has failed. It shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from all this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you will perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. The Lord honored his commitment to his people by keeping his promise. God's telling him here, not a thing has happened to you.
I mean, I don't know how often you have to buy clothes, but it seems to be a little more often now than it used to be because they wear out. They get sanctified. But think about this. The scripture tells us that for 40 years, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness and their shoes didn't wear. Any of you got a pair of shoes that you can wear every day and walk as far as they did for 40 years and they not wear out? Or an outfit that you can wear every day for 40 years? God says nothing's happened to you. He protected them through all of that wandering in the wilderness. Those who were disobedient died off. But as they come into the promised land, God has honored them. He has honored his commitment to being faithful and keeping his promises by giving them everything they've got. They didn't earn it. I can sure tell you from what I've read in here, they didn't deserve it. Because every time they get something good, it wasn't long. Here they go complaining against God. Oh, God, you can't do this. You can't do that. I mean, and half the time it's not nowhere near what he's already done for them. But he honored his promise and remained faithful, and he gave them everything. He gave them land. He gave them safety. He gave them hope. He gave them homes. He gave them food. He gave them cattle. He's given them everything they have. God has honored them. But he's telling them here that he's going to keep his promise. But if you transgress his covenant, then his anger is going to come. And I believe for us today that we're in that same thing, that we should strive to honor him by the way we live for him. Now, let me tell you two things real quick. You will not, under any circumstance, ever lose your salvation. But I believe that two things can happen if you remain unfaithful and unloyal to the Lord. There'll come a point in time that he'll take you and he'll put you on the shelf and he can't use you. And if you continue to remain unloyal, and you continue to remain there, he will remove you and bring you on to glory. Might be the better of the situation. I mean, we all want to go to glory. But I believe I want to remain here and do what he wants me to do. What he did for me, I need to strive to honor him by being faithful. Guess what? Everywhere we go, everything you do as a believer, you are an ambassador. And you represent Christ. Does your life, your actions, the way you speak, the way you act, the way you dress, does it honor the Lord? Because like I say, everywhere you go, you're an open book. Want to or not, you're an open book that you're a believer. And we should be honoring him by living a life that when people see us, they can see Jesus. When we honor him by how we live, we're obedient to his word. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. But we should strive to. We should live a life that we're trying to. We should live a life in walking and being in relationship with the Lord that when we do sin, Holy Spirit immediately convicts us and we immediately confess it. Because if you don't, it builds up. How many of you have ever lived near a railroad track? Have any of you? I've lived near a railroad track. You know, after a while, train comes rolling by at 3 o'clock every day, and before long, you don't ever hear it. Same thing with conviction. When you don't confess it, the Holy Spirit speaks, and he speaks. Before long, he's speaking, and you don't hear it. We should honor him. We need to immediately confess it. God's not going to pick you up, put you over his knee, take his paddle back, and go whack every time you sin. Because here, let me tell you this. How do I know that's not going to happen? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the payment for all of your sin was done. Your sins have already been forgiven. Sins have already been forgiven, past, present, and future. But it can affect our relationship. God tells us to come and to confess it to him, and he will be faithful to forgive us. He's not going to say,
I've checked off all, you're done, no more. No, he loves us perfect. And if we go to him immediately and confess, every time he's going to be right there with his arms open wide, and he's going to say, forgiven. New clean robe. Take off the dirty stained robe, throw it in the bleach of blood, and he's going to give it back clean for us to put on. When we go into the future, especially after seeing how faithful he was to these people who were constantly griping and turning their back on him. Joshua, if I would say, was probably about a mirror of my life. God has blessed me. God has been faithful to me. And when I walk when he says walk, he gives me what he says he's going to give me. But how many times do I, somewhere along the line, complain, backslide, turn away? But then he's right there and forgives me again. Back and forth, the pendulum swings. What is he saying there when he says in verse says, if you're eager to go back and cling to the rest of these nations, verse 12, for which remain among you and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord will not continue to drive these nations out. Verse 14, now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of the words of God, which the Lord your God spoke concerning you, has failed. All have been faithful for you. Not one of them failed. Why do I use the word flirt? I don't know about you or any time in your life, but there's been times in my life sin is enticing. Would you agree with that? It's okay. I don't think Satan makes sin unenticing. We wouldn't want to do it. But when we know that the temptation is over here and we know that this is a temptation for us, how many times do we want to just see exactly how close we can get to it? And we flirt with it. And what happens most of the time? It's just like a snake right at the right time. And it's got, don't even go near it. That's why he said, don't intermarry with them. He says, don't even, verse 7, so that you will not associate. Don't even associate. God wants to protect us. Who are the nations that we're against? It's the temptations. We have sin that tempts us today, and God can protect us from that. But he's saying, stay away from it. Don't associate with it. Don't talk to it. Don't mingle with it. Why is that? Because then we will get wrapped up. We are removed, praise the Lord, from our bondage to sin. The rule of sin over our life is gone. But so many times we want to go back, and we want to let it get a stronghold. It will never have a bond to us, but we can let it get a stronghold on us because we enjoy it. But we should move forward and continue to honor the Lord. So let me show you here. Stepping into the future in light of Joshua, we should continue to be loyal to the Lord. There is no person more worthy of our loyalty than the Lord. He's loyal to us. Kind of like the dog, you know, he's loyal to you no matter what. You can leave him for 2 days and come back and he's right there. God is always there. We need to be loyal. You want to be loyal to someone, there's no one better to be loyal to than the Lord. Step into the future, going from today forward, being loyal to the Lord. And also by loving the Lord. So many people say, oh, I fell in love, or I fell out of love, or I'll love them when they love me. All that's a bunch of hogwash. But let me tell you what, you want to take some of that and put it to practice? God loves you. God loves you fully, unconditionally. There's no better person than we should love than the Lord. No person that we can love more than the Lord. The Lord loves us. He puts his love in us, and we should move forward stepping into the future by honoring him. God honors us. God has been faithful to his commitment.
And because he is faithful, we need to honor him. I don't believe there's anything less. You know, we can't say, I can't do anything more, nothing less than we should do than to honor the Lord. Because he has been